The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
What's up, nerds? This is Just a Couple Arslings, the Last Kingdom podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jessica Toomer.
And I am Alyssa Fixie. We are writers for Sci-Fi Wire's Fangirls, who started recapping The Last Kingdom in season 3. So we decided to bring that nerdy, horny energy to Podcastlandia.
Yes, you're welcome. I feel like that's how we should start off every episode. You're welcome for being here.
You know, we ended up watching this show kind of not under duress isn't the right form, but it was assigned to us by our editor. You know, neither of us had really watched it before. At least I certainly hadn't watched it before.
No, I was not a Last Kingdom fan at that point.
Yeah, I was very much of the mind that, you know, if I was going to watch a show like that, I was going to watch Game of Thrones. But then I actually, right, I mean, you know, it's Game of Thrones. But, you know, and then I actually watched it and it was so good, like just on its own, you know, like it was historical. It was interesting. It was also, you know, full of hot people on horses, which has been my thing for like forever.
Yes.
So thank you, Cher, for making us watch The Last Kingdom, because it's been a gift.
So we have been doing these discussion recaps over on Sci-Fi Wire Fangirls for a bit now. We cover Handmaid's Tale, The Magicians, Our Baby the 100 that is ending soon.
Too sad.
That is a shameless plug, so please go check them out.
We're quite funny and informational.
We're a hot freaking mess, and I think you'll have fun just kind of watching the train wreck as it happens. But I think, you know, from that, we kind of jumped into The Last Kingdom when it was suggested. And yeah, we just fell in love with the show. I think it filled a bit of a void. We knew Game of Thrones was going to be ending. It prepared me for that a little bit.
It did.
You know, there aren't any dragons, but we do have badass warrior women and men who love taking their shirts off and plenty of political intrigue and betrayal to kind of keep things interesting.
I love people scheming in rooms, and this show has plenty of people scheming in rooms.
In robes, okay? So I think between, yeah, the smoke and hot cast, the violence, the furs, it just had all of those kind of, it checked all of those boxes for us. So Cher Martinetti, that's our editor over at Sci-Fi Wire Fangirls. She's the Tony Stark of nerdgirldom, and she just, she knew before we did. This would be our show.
It's true. We are her Avengers, and
we have assembled.
Exactly. And, you know, I think this show, it's so good, but I feel like a lot of people don't know about it. You know, there's so much to watch on Netflix, just on Netflix, and then like not even getting into like the rest of peak TV. But I feel like I've definitely told people to watch it since then, and everybody immediately becomes obsessed with it. Like, it's just one of those shows that really breeds fans quickly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. And it's like really interesting too. You know, you think that no one watches it, but actually, you know, I've told people that we cover the show and we're doing this podcast, like just people I know. And they're like, oh, yeah, I've watched a couple episodes of that show, or, oh, I've like scrolled past that show on Netflix. And it's like, I thought it was interesting, but I just didn't have time. And I'm like, well, find the fucking time.
Because it is
so good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I think it's like on people's radar, but still in like that. It's in that kind of like Schitt's Creek area of like, oh, it's like right on the brink. And the people that are tapped into it now are like, we're the cool ones. Yeah, exactly. Like, we're the tastemakers. And, you know, just jump on this bandwagon with us.
Well, Schitt's Creek really broke in its fourth season. So hopefully the same thing will happen with Uhtred and Co. when the fourth season comes back next year.
Yes. Oh, my God. What if The Last Kingdom, like, started getting nominated for, like, Emmys and stuff?
It deserves it. It deserves it.
For the furs alone, the costume department.
Exactly. if the last season of Game of Thrones can get a ton of Emmys, I think The Last Kingdom deserves the same treatment because it's better than the last season of Game of Thrones by a lot.
Oh, God, by so much. Better than the last few seasons of Game of Thrones, if we're going to be honest.
Ah, that's fair.
I guess that's our, like, really mean girl's way of pressuring you into watching this show if you haven't already. But, I mean, if you haven't already, what are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
You know that this is what's it. And so I think we're going to just fangirl out. And I hope that's cool with you guys.
I mean, if it's not, they'll get used to it.
Like a medieval UTI, you will get used to us.
Well, with that segue, how about you pop some cranberry pills and we'll take a look at episode one of season one of The Last Kingdom.
Yeah.
So in this episode, like, I feel like we're really thrown into the thick of it right away. Like, they kind of expect people to pick things up really quickly. You've got the Danes coming and storming the Saxon shores right away. So that conflict, which is going to run through the whole show, is like right away hitting the ground. It's pretty intense with Uhtred's dad, I mean, right from the get-go.
Yeah, I think the show banks on you kind of knowing a bit of history.
Yeah.
So if you don't, here's my like history, like fan kind of moment, because I do love, oh God, I love a good history book. But yeah, so basically Vikings, that was their deal back then. So they love to sail on their little boats and come up on people's shores and steal their shit, rape and pillage and do all these really terrible things. But they were kind of like the bad boys of medieval times. And there's something to really love about that way of kind of making your own way. And they were in it for the glory and for Valhalla. And it was a kind of YOLO life for them. Whereas the Saxons were, let's plant grain and let's elect, you know, kings. And they were trying to build a society. And the Vikings, the Danes, were more interested in just kind of raising the shit out of anything. So there's something to love on both sides of this conflict, I think.
Sure.
But the Saxons definitely weren't fans. And so, you know, in that first episode, we see the Danes kind of like coming up on the shores. Uhtred's a really young boy at this point. His dad is the lord of this, of Bebbanburg. He's trying to kind of figure out how he's going to deal with this because they're just not prepared with their army. They don't have enough men. They don't have enough weapons. They've got all of these peasants that they have to look after. And the Vikings, the Danes really know that. And that's what they bank on when they come up, is to just kind of spring in on them and be like, surprise, bitch. We're here. We're taking your stuff. What are you going to do about it? So that's my little drunk history spiel.
It's beautiful. I learned so much just right there.
My God, I've always thought I could do an episode of drunk history. Ugh.
I support that dream. I think you'd be great at it.
Thank you, Alyssa. You're the best.
Oh, thank you. One thing I really love about this show is there's no, like you said, there's no clear villain and no clear hero side. You know what I mean? Like, sure, you know, the Saxon way is presenting this idea of more stability and unity and that kind of thing. But at the same time, you know, these Danes are really compelling. You know, they cause a lot of trouble, but, you know, you've got, you know, Ragnar, both the elder and the younger, and, you know, these characters that are set up to be heroic in their own way. And so there's so much like moral ambiguity there that I just am obsessed with. And I think that sort of that conflict between the Saxons and the Danes is really distilled into Uhtred. And he's got this internal pull towards each side as starting from a young kid, you know, and I think that really sets him up as a super interesting protagonist.
Yeah, Uhtred really, even as a young boy, has the spirit of a Dane.
Yeah.
And so, like, he's a cocky little shit. And I loved that about him. And I thought, you know, just when we first met him, I was like, this kid doesn't belong here in this, like, stuffy old castle.
No.
He should be out on the battlefield, you know, wetting his sword with the blood of his enemies.
Right.
I just wanted more for him than the life that he was going to have. And so, thankfully, I mean, sadly, because I hate to see Matthew McFadden die, Armister Darcy, but he had to kind of bite the bullet so that Uhtred could become, you know, this warrior that he was meant to be. And I think when we see him after this battle that Uhtred's dad has with these Vikings, and they end up winning and they take Uhtred hostage, they end up kind of adopting him. And so when you see him again as a young man, he's very much in the fold. And I mean, he's just living it up. His hair is beautiful. It's in a man bun. I don't know, like, what it is about a man with, like, a six-pack and, like, a man bun. Our lady parts are, like, biologically engineered to explode, you know, when that's around. But that's what's happening here. And he's, like, he's the kind of, like, ye olde hottie that I would totally risk it all for.
Listen, we aren't always proud of when the cavewoman brain kicks in, but sometimes it just does. And
oh, it's kicking in hard.
Exactly. I don't even really know quite how to explain how much I love this show from the beginning, but I just like, you know, it's so interesting because you've got Uhtred and he's essentially sold into slavery and raised by the people who killed his father and his brother and basically, you know, set up his homeland to be ruled by his evil uncle. But at the same time, they have so much more care for him and they, you know, actually give a shit with how he turns out.
Dad was a dick.
Yeah, he was awful. As much as that pains me to say about, like you said, Mr. Darcy, he was the worst. And so I guess, you know, it's proof that a little love and compassion can come from very unexpected places, even in a Danish hall where they're burning their enemies on a spit while they're having a wild party.
Oh my God. That's the one thing I had a problem with. Like I was totally down for, I was totally down for the Danes to like win that battle and, you know, to be like, oh, okay, we're the shit. But then you come into this like a Viking hall and their decorations, their party decor is just not, it's not my aesthetic. I mean, I don't want to see bodies hanging from the walls. And so that was like the one part of the episode where I was like, oh, come on, guys. Like,
I know.
Let's have a little more class.
Flayed bodies are a difficult thing to make work. They just, it's not a cute look.
The smell. I mean, how long were they like drinking and like, you know, partying it up? And those bodies aren't going to start, this is getting gross, but those bodies aren't going to start rotting. Come on. Like the germaphobe in me was just all kinds of freaked out. They were eating around. It was just a lot. It was a lot. But luckily that doesn't last very long. And then we get to kind of time jump to see Uhtred emerging from an ice bath half naked, because this show knows what we want and it will give it to us.
It's true. They're quite giving and we are very, very willing to receive.
The other major thing that happens this episode, other than we see Uhtred getting captured and growing up a Dane, is when we meet him as an older man. He's still a young man, but he's older than the little boy that we first see. And
An adult man.
What are those? We're only used to boys in this like century.
Oh God,
those
were
men.
Don't even want to talk about it.
But yeah, so he's lived with the Danes. And so, you know, there's an issue that happens when they're kids that I think is really important to kind of talk about with his adopted sister. And she kind of gets attacked by this other little Danish boy. It's weird to say Danish because I just think of like pastries. This other little Viking brat, God, he is a lawsuit like waiting to grow up and rape someone. So
a medieval Brock Turner, you could say.
Yes. Oh, yeah. My God. That's what he is.
Yes.
So he's a bit of an asshole. It ends up, you know, Ragnar, the elder, he kind of banishes the kid, his dad, their whole family, as you do. And they come back later when the boy is all grown up and the dad has let his kind of anger stew and he's spent his life planning this revenge since there's no Netflix and you have nothing else to do during that time. Yeah, things don't go well and it's sad and I don't really want to talk about it. So you say it, Alyssa.
I know. It's awful. Like they set up Earl Ragnar as this like really epic principled dude and then he has to die in flames and it's a pretty metal death in terms of like going out in medieval times, but like it's a real blow. And you see, you know, you see Uhtred and Breda, they're sort of sent out after that to like, you know, traverse the world and tell Ragnar's story and figure out what they're going to do next. But I think it's really interesting, like this whole scenario, like even from Uhtred when he was a kid protecting Tira from Sven, like having it come back as an adult, it really sort of sets up that even if Uhtred isn't 100% certain about like which side he really identifies the most with sometimes, he always has his own particular moral compass. And that is kind of, you know, what he clings to when both sides are being real dicks. All he's really got is himself.
Yeah, and Brita.
And Brita. That's what I was about to say. And Brita.
How did he? Don't forget her.
I would never.
So I think, you know, we talked a lot about Uhtred, but Brita is another character in the story that we're introduced to. She's taken slave as a young girl, the same way Uhtred is. She's just not, you know, any kind of royalty.
Right.
And she's raised up with this family as well. And it's really interesting to see her, at least for me, she represents a view of what woman it meant to be a woman back then.
Yeah.
And she's kind of experienced both sides. So, you know, if she grew up a Saxon, her life would be markedly different than what it is as a Dane now. And so she's a badass for sure. And she kind of gives it to Uhtred as good as she gets it. And they have this really, they have a lot of chemistry. They have this kind of fiery back and forth. There's a lot of history there that we get to kind of explore in this episode. And then they have like sexy time, which is, it's not that. So as pretty as Uhtred is, I don't think he's like a Casanova by any means. I mean, his pickup line was like, do you want to hunt by this fire? So,
I mean, to be fair, Uhtred's supposed to be about like 18, 19, 20. So that age of man in any century is not going to be the best time. It's just not. So we'll allow him a learning curve at this point, but he better become more attentive as things go on.
Yeah. I mean, like sitting on that horse and just like doing that little like with his finger, like that come here beckon.
Okay. Here's the thing, though, that if that would probably work for me.
That was for you?
That was as embarrassing as that is to admit, like with Uhtred. Yeah, that would work.
Yeah, I mean, the dirty...
I'm not proud. I'm just being honest.
There's no judgment. I'm not judging you. I'm just saying that he's obviously going to be a ladies' man, and I hope that he kind of... his pickup game gets a little bit better, because right now I'm getting, like... he's just, like, content to, like, send little dick pics to people, and I want more of, like, the wooing and the kind of... pronounced like love and proposals that, you know, I was hoping this like time period was known for. But I guess it's just more like, you know, humping under furs. I don't know.
Exactly. To go out the good place, send nude pics of your heart to me, Uhtred, because that's what I deserve.
Exactly. That's all I want. So that and for Brita to just thrive and do whatever she wants to do, because she's going to have a time of it, I think, by the end of the episode. Like you said, the whole family kind of goes up in flames, which is so sad. Tira gets taken captive by Kjartan and Sven. And so we know she's not in for a good time.
No.
And I think, you know, Uhtred and Brita are kind of left wandering on their own. And it's very much about Uhtred trying to pick a side and decide what he wants to do. Does he want to reclaim his birthright of Bebbanburg? Does he want to honor the memory of his family and his father? Does he want to go find Ragnar the Younger, who has been off trying to make his own way and pillage and do all that fun Viking stuff? So, but Brita she's even more adrift, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Like at least Uhtred has Bebbanburg as something to work towards. Like, you know, anybody who's seen the show or read the books knows that he has not made it back to Bebbanburg permanently for a very long time. But he
will never make it back.
Probably not. But he has something to cling to and to work towards as a birthright. Brita doesn't have that. Like, all she had at this point was her Danish family, you know, everything that entailed. So now all she's got is Uhtred and this mission to sort of tell the truth about Kjartan and his men and what happened to Ragnar. And I mean, that's going to get old after a while, just like wandering the countryside, telling the same story over and over again. And I believe in her dedication, but that's not a life.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's no like medieval social media. There's no medieval Twitter. She can't just get on and post like an RIP adopted dad. So they're having to kind of make this trek. And I think for Brita, it is more about, you know, hooking up with the Danes again. I mean, she doesn't trust, you know, some of the Danish lords that we meet, like Ova and Guthrum and people like that. But she, at least she knows them and she's familiar with them. So Uhtred is kind of debating, oh, should I try and make my way as a Saxon lord? I mean, that's an option for him. And I think that's a scary option for Brita because
she doesn't want to be a Saxon lord's wife.
Hell no. Who does?
No.
I mean, I wouldn't want to be on like the medieval version of, you know, the Bachelorette because your choices are just shitty and shitty. So Brita knows that because she's a smart bitch and she's going to, I think she's, we know she's going to have a tough time and I hate to see it.
Right. Yeah. she's got a tough road ahead. That's for sure.
Uhtred's kind of a little fuckboy in the beginning. Mm-hmm. I think we can say with love.
With love.
With love. And she has to like weather that storm and it's a lot on our girl. And so I just want you all to, you know, while we're talking about this first episode, to really keep Brita in your thoughts and prayers.
She deserves to have a hot girl summer and she's not going to get one.
She's not going to get one for a while. Okay. For me, those were the big like takeaways as far as what the story was about this first episode. We got a lot of exposition. Obviously, it's a pilot and they had to introduce this story. I think they did it well. I mean, if we're going to talk about, you know, pilots and how they set things up, a lot of times we look at pilots as like their own kind of thing. And we don't, just from like a TV critic's kind of point of view, we don't judge a show based on the pilot because there is so much work that has to be put in, especially when you're building a world like this. But honestly, like this pilot stands up with all of the episodes that we've, you know, seen so far and like episodes of other shows and that fucking Game of Thrones finale. I mean, I would choose this episode any day. So hats off to, you know, the show and the writers because they really kind of, I feel like they believe in the fans and the audience. And they're like, you're smart enough to get this. You're smart enough to just hit the ground running and get invested. And we are. And so it's nice, like when, you know, when shows like have that faith in us.
Yeah. And, you know, I think they you know, every pilot episode, there's so much exposition dumped on you all at once. But, you know, if it's told in like hushed voices by a withered old man by a fire, I'm way more willing to accept that instead of just like a regular, boring old here's so and so kind of dump. So I accept these terms to learn things about the world that I'm entering. And, you know, I think The Last Kingdom really nailed that.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, so it's time for our next episode, Wishes. This is when we issue our demands for upcoming episodes, like these spoiled toddlers that we are. Here's what we want to see, when we want to see it, and why we won't be denied.
Going into this next episode, I really want to get into more like world expansion. You know, we've seen the Danes really established, and I'm ready to see the same sort of done for the Saxons. Let's see who they're trying to conquer. You know, like so much of The Last Kingdom is wrapped up in the conflict between Uhtred and Alfred, and we get like a brief mention of Alfred early on in the episode from Bayaka, and we sort of see this complicated relationship between Uhtred and his Saxon birthright sort of getting off the ground. So I'm ready to see more of that. And I'm ready to see, you know, sort of the development between Uhtred and Breda's relationship as well.
Yeah, I think the nerd in me really wants to get into the Saxon history a bit, just because there so much of that is on paper. We know what's coming and what happens and what their whole vibe was, which was to kind of preach the gospels and build these beautiful churches and, you know, collect all this gold. And I don't know what they're planning on doing from there, but they had some plans. So I really want to meet them and meet Alfred, especially because, you know, he is going to be such a major influence on Uhtred in so many different ways. He can be an asshole at times. And so, yeah, I'm ready for that to kind of play out. But I agree. Breda. I know Uhtred is the hero of this like whole thing, but this woman is just so interesting to me. And I just want to see her thrive in every episode. And I'm not going to accept anything less.
Well, it's nothing less than she deserves, you know, like Breda. So. Yeah. Breda has put up with so much shit already. In the first episode, you can sort of see this I would say a weariness in her. Like she wants these same kind of opportunities that Uhtred has, and she just hasn't been afforded them just because she's a woman. And that is still a pretty relatable feeling in 2019.
Oh my God. Fuck that. I think I speak for Breda and every woman that came after her throughout the history of time. Fuck that.
Yeah. I think that's a really fair read on that situation. Now, The Last Kingdom has a really massive cast. Like, even just in this first pilot episode, you can sort of get that vibe. And nearly everybody gets their time to shine at one point or another. So we are going to highlight the Arsling of the Week, a character who truly goes above and beyond to win the war or simply win our hearts. Jessica, yes. Who is your Arsling of the Week this week?
Look, it's not because I love the guy, but Ubba.
Yeah.
Ubba really made an impression on me this episode. So I think there's a lot of Sirius in this, you know, first episode. There's a lot of, we've talked about just how much explaining and how much world building has to be done. And, you know, dudes in medieval times were just super serious. I guess because the threat of death was like always looming, like either you could get food poisoning, I don't know, mauled by a bear, I don't know, or like killed by a Viking.
Sure.
Just anything could come out at you. So everyone's kind of somber and, you know, there's just a lot of tension when you have meetings between men and things like that. And then Ubba comes in and he's this Viking lord and he's like he's a wild card. Like he could just kind of shoot off at any time. That kind of danger and unpredictability is just so interesting to me. So I want to see Ubba fuck things up a little bit more.
That's true. And, you know, you raise an interesting point, like watching this show is like how fragile life is. Like, I know that life is fragile every century, but I don't know, like I'm turning 30 literally tomorrow and I would probably be long dead by now.
Would I have made it to my teens? I don't know.
I don't know. If it wasn't the childbirth, it would have been the plague. You know what I mean? So it is a rough time to be alive.
You gotta YOLO, even in medieval times. You have to YOLO.
Possibly even especially in medieval times, because you'll probably be dead tomorrow.
Yes, for sure. And Ubba knows this.
It's true. He does. He follows the gods and whatever they tell him. And, you know, it opens up a whole new can of worms, but at least he doesn't, you know, pussyfoot around and fear death too much.
Yeah, I like that, like, motto, too, is, like, following the gods. He has this kind of seer story who kind of interprets these signs and is like, yeah, we should do this or do that. And I like that only because if something like goes wrong, you can just say, well, the gods made me do it.
Right.
I just follow the signs from the gods. What
exactly.
Are you talking about? You know,
it's the medieval Mercury is in retrograde, honestly.
There you go. Yeah. It's like it's a get out of jail free card that no one can argue with, or you can burn them at the stake.
There you go. It's a pretty effective way to lead, if you ask me.
Alyssa, who's your arsling of the week?
Well, speaking of burning, unfortunately, my arsling of the week really has to be Earl Ragnar. Like, what a G, you know? We meet a lot of characters in this first episode, but he goes out in a literal blaze of glory. Like, that's hardcore. That's living life like a king. And I really respect that.
Yeah, he's bold. He's brave. He sacrifices it all for his family. I mean, he's the dad we all wish we had.
Oh.
So pour one out for Earl Ragnar, because he was a real one. Gone too soon.
He deserved better than he got. Like, he took in these orphan kids. Sure, it was, you know, kind of slavery in the beginning, but it
quickly turned.
Right.
It was only slavery for like a week.
A brief bout with slavery. Yikes. But, you know, I think that influence of Earl Ragnar, like, it has such a huge impression on his son and on Uhtred and on Breeda, too. This sort of, you know, sense of honor and bravery. Like, that's the best way to live, you know?
Yeah. Gone but not forgotten.
Exactly. Like you said, pour one out for Earl Ragnar.
Well, I think we're going to move on to our what a turd section. That seems to be a favorite insult in medieval times, so we're going to adopt it here. Get ready to shame none the worst character of the episode with us. It doesn't matter if you're a Saxon or a Dane, anyone can be a turd, and we're calling out the biggest one of the week. So, Alyssa, who's your turd?
For me, it really has to be Kjartan and his shitty son, Sven. Like, it may be medieval times, but the idea that boys will be boys has always been and will always be bullshit. So,
squash it.
It's the worst. You know what? We don't have time for this kind of toxic masculinity. Not a fan. So, I think those guys have got to be, you know, they're the worst. Plus, they kill Earl Ragnar on top of all that. So, it's just unacceptable all the way around.
They are the literal worst, and I want them to burn in the fiery pits of hell.
Exactly. Tell me how you really feel, because I agree.
I'm trying to tame it. I'm trying to, like, take it a notch down.
Never.
I want terrible things for them.
Never take it a notch down, you know?
And take it a notch up.
Yeah. Kick it into high, girl. I believe in your rage. But, you know, and I think they're set up as a really interesting foil, though. Like, even though they're awful, they set up, you know, Ragnar in the beginning and Uhtred in the long run to, like, be the better men. And I think that's a really interesting juxtaposition.
Sure, because it can be hard, I think, if you're watching the show and trying to suss out, like, who's the good guy? Who's the bad guy here? When you're presented with Vikings that kind of rape and pillage for a living, it doesn't matter how, like, cute their getup is and how long their ponytail is. You can't just automatically say that they're 100% good guy. No one is, especially on this show. But it's helpful to have Kjartan as Sven as that kind of thing to judge them against.
Sure.
Because you look at those guys and you say, damn, totally Team Uhtred. This guy is like Jesus walking the earth. because these men are so horrible. And they would definitely be my turd of the week. But since you took that, Alyssa.
Sorry.
I think there's no shortage of them, so I'll take a runner up, which would be Uhtred's uncle. We're not going to see that much of the guy for a bit, though I do think he will come into play in season 4, just putting that out there.
Probably. I expect a violent return.
Yeah, we haven't seen the last of him, but right now the look that we have seen is not a good one. He's totally cool with his brother going off to war and then dying and him becoming lord, and baby Uhtred is the only thing standing in the way of that. And I think, you know, when you get to the point where you're willing to kill your nephew for like a bunch of farmland and a nice house coat, things have gotten to a breaking point and you're a bad guy.
It's true. Which is another thing that I think with the Danes, there's a lot of sense of solidarity, at least within the family, you know, like the Danish lords are all fighting each other, but you know, you see with Earl Ragnar's family, like, these are ride or die people, you know?
Yeah.
And so to have, you know, Uhtred's blood uncle being so willing to, like, toss him aside and kill him in order to sort of get the birthright that he believes he's owed because he's waited for his other brother to die for so long. And, you know, I think that really sets the sort of Danish mindset off in a really interesting way, because the Saxon one is pretty brutal too.
Yeah.
But in a more refined way. Like, it's like it's like the nice Southern ladies at church. Like, they'll say hello to you, but then they'll gossip about you behind your back. Except this time, you know, it's actually murder. But
yeah, it's like a bless your heart. But instead of that, it's a sword.
It's a knife in the back. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I don't know which one is worse, though.
Basically, Uhtred's uncle is an old Southern lady. That's it.
Ugh. They are the most dangerous, guys. Let us tell you. I think we can both say, with experience and knowledge and authority, never trust a Southern bitch.
It's true. It's true. We hail from both of the Carolinas, so we've had our fair share.
Got it in our blood.
Now, this is clearly a very serious podcast about a very serious show, but as you can tell through the rest of what we've been saying, sometimes it's nice to indulge in a little bit of thirst. It's 2019, the world is on fire, and honestly, we deserve it. So this is our time to celebrate the thirstiest moments that really blew our skirts up this episode.
Oh my God. Just the notion that I wear skirts on the reg. just killing me.
So Jessica, which moment truly spoke to you in this episode?
Okay, so I want no judgment from anyone.
Absolutely not. This is a safe space.
This is a safe space, especially this part of the episode, guys. So don't fucking troll me in the comments. But there's a moment when, okay, so first off, Ragnar the Younger, he only gets better as the show goes on.
100%
I agree. Love him. I would die for him. I would have his babies, and I don't even want kids. So he's really the shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you make an exception, and he is the exception to the rule. And so there's a moment in this episode. He doesn't have much to do in this episode, but we do get to meet him and kind of see a little bit about him. And they talk about, I think it's Ragnar the Elder, actually, that talks about, you know, wanting to get his sword wet with Ubba in an upcoming battle.
Hmm.
And I don't know why. Okay.
Cave woman brain taking over again. I get it.
It's something deep inside that just pulls you. It like rises up to the surface with like dirty man buns and talk of like violence and death. And I don't know what it is, but it really did it for me. And I can think of a lot of things that Ragnar would not have trouble getting wet, if you know what I mean.
They always know what you mean, Jessica.
Please, parents, don't listen to this. I don't want my mom and dad listening to this, please.
Yeah. But yeah, preferably not. So, well,
all right, Alyssa, embarrass yourself.
Well, see, here's the thing. I think you get points for creativity there. Mine was much more obvious and basic. And I feel like we have to talk about the transition of Uhtred falling into the lake as a boy and rising out of it again as a shirtless, fully grown man. Because that's got to be one of the greatest character entrances of all time. Like, you know, sure, we've met Uhtred, but we haven't met Uhtred. You know what I mean?
A glow up.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's the ultimate glow up, I think. And it's got to be cold in that lake. And he risked those cold titties for us. And I appreciate that sacrifice.
What a man. Of us. Ugh. Yeah, it's that kind of willingness to put your body on the line just for our, like, horniness that I can really get behind. And it earned him a couple of points with me this episode, for sure. Yeah. So, good choice.
4 out of 4 stars, absolutely. Thank you for your sacrifice, Uhtred.
Oh, we're starring this thing now. I feel like it needs to be, like, 4 out of 4, like, fire emojis.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the rating system that we have, a very professional rating system we've come up with.
Yeah, I can see that working for us pretty well.
Yeah, so there's no questioning it. okay, guys, so, you know, we've talked your ears off about The Last Kingdom, which we will continue to do forever and ever until the end of time. But we're going to geek out about other things right now. This is our little geek out section to talk about what we're excited for. You know, I think it's safe to say we have never been accused of being unenthusiastic in our fandom. Our, you know, we annoy our friends, our family members. Now you guys are devoted listeners. So welcome to Geek Out, where we are going to offer up our humble suggestions about what we think you should be watching and reading right now.
Yes, thank you. I love forcing people to listen to my opinion. So this is a perfect corner for that. For me right now, my biggest thing in genre is iZombie. It just finished up. I know. It just wrapped up its run on the CW and it's all on Netflix right now. So if you haven't watched it, it's a lovely little binge. And, you know, I feel like, with so many zombie shows, it's just everything is bleak and awful and terrible all the time. But, you know, iZombie is there, a plucky little show that's just, it's as determined to put a smile on your face as it is to make you question the morality of keeping zombies alive. And I just think that it's really underrated. Rose McIver is such a great actress on the show. She just really slips into the different brain personalities so effortlessly. So if you haven't watched it, watch iZombie. It's wonderful.
Oh, 100% agree. Just a fun fact, it's created by Rob Thomas,
yes.
Not the singer, the showrunner genius who gave us Veronica Mars.
Yes.
And there's such a feel of that show, which I absolutely loved and kind of grew up on, that's in iZombie. But it's like, you know, obviously with more like brain eating.
Right.
So
and it's
I, just to echo that.
Right. And I will say, especially in the wake of Veronica Mars season 4, it's a little bit more devoted to happy endings, which I think even though it's sort of fallen out of vogue, I think we should have more of them, honestly.
Yeah, doesn't Jason Doring come on that show, like, at one point?
Yes, he does.
Logan Eccles from Veronica Mars?
Okay. Yes, he does. There's actually a lot
Marshmallows.
Of...
Marshmallows.
Yes, marshmallows. There's a lot attention. Of overlap. It's great.
Well, yes, I can 100% get behind that. And I think I would like to offer up The Boys, which is a show that just dropped. But it's also a comic from Garth Ennis. So if you're a comic fan and you're familiar with it, you know, you're going to really be just so pleasantly surprised. Because I think when we adapt things, especially like comic book shows and things, we adapt them to TV, you know, it's either awesome or just it goes terribly wrong. And I think in this case, it's definitely the bomb. And the people behind this did such a good job. Eric Kripke, he's the showrunner and he has done Supernatural and just knocked it out of park with that show. So it's very adult. It's very graphic. Like, maybe don't, like, come on a full stomach, you know?
Right. And, you know, maybe the kids who loved Captain America, don't show them Homelander.
Don't.
No.
Yeah.
When they're older and can understand, for sure. But not for the kids.
Yeah, they definitely, they pull no punches when it comes to taking on superheroes. You know, the superheroes in this world have become corrupt. And it's just a really interesting look at, I think we're so kind of, we're in this superhero phase where it might be easy to get a little burnout. And this is just a different point of view and a different look at it. It's hilarious. It's got Carl Urban in it, who is just such a badass and just, he is just the most charming dude. Like, his swagger on screen, I could just watch him in anything because he's just got this like affability, but he's also like, don't fuck with me vibe, you know? And Jack Quaid is also in it, he's just like such a talent. And I think it's got a lot of promise and it's definitely going to have another season. And
yeah,
just get on it now.
Yeah, they're already filming season 2, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. I've seen some bloody, I think they've shared some like bloody photos on their socials. So, yeah, I just prepping you guys, you know, I mean, you watch The Last Kingdom, so violence and gore should not be a problem for you.
Exactly.
But it's very graphic. And I think it just only serves the story, though, because it's just so fucking funny. So please check it out. It's really good.
Yeah, I agree. All right, guys, if you want to hear more of our bullshitting, check us out on Twitter or over at Sci-Fi Wire Fangirls. We've got links to everything below the episode.
And until next time, destiny is all.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.